Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 537 of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast, presented by Overdrive. This is Adam, joined by Jill. How's it? Hey, Jill, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's warm and beautiful. And it's National Library Week. So we have brought on two people who have been on many, many times before, but we haven't like brought on coworkers recently a lot. So if people are new-ish to the podcast, they might not have ever heard us talk with Maria and Emma. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves first, though, and like say what you do at Overdrive. And Emma, you can go first because you're top left in my screen.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. My name's Emma. I'm a staff librarian here at Overdrive. I work with our public library partners in the U.S. and Canada.
How about you, Maria?
I am Maria Fez, and I do the same thing as Emma, just with different areas of the U.S. And I think I've been here almost three years now, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. I know Emma's been here longer than me, but we've had a good time talking books, so we're excited to be here.
Yeah. As we used to just all the time, because for people who might not know, Overdrive has not only like a whole team of collection development librarians like Maria and Emma, but there's just a lot of people at Overdrive who have masters in library and information science. Is that the correct masters? Okay.
Yeah.
I used to joke that I feel like I'm librarian adjacent because I've spent 10 years working with librarians, but I don't have that. But in National Library Week, Jill and I had nothing else to do. So we're like, let's bring out some of our librarian friends we've not in a while and just do a little round table of them telling us what books they've been reading lately. I'll put all the books in the show notes for everybody listening, so you don't have to worry about frantically writing them down. We'll just kind of go around. Emma has a book that she also doesn't like. Maybe don't lead off with that one.
Yeah, let's not lead off with that one.
Yeah, but Emma, do you want to start with a book that you did enjoy recently?
Yes. So before I get to a series of books I'm going to want to talk about that Maria knows about already, because we've talked about it nonstop for the last month, I will start with the new Caroline Kepnes book, You Love Me, which conveniently came out yesterday. So excellent timing and totally planned. This is the third book in the You series, I guess. You may have seen the Netflix show. You may not have. Anyways, this is the third book, which I actually was really excited to hear about when she announced that she was bringing all these characters back. I obviously won't give any spoilers, but this book follows Joe again, your friendly neighborhood. I assume it's not a spoiler for the first book. You know, he's not a great guy.
He's not a great guy.
He's not a great guy.
Friendly neighborhood, not a great guy.
Lovely neighborhood. Well, I was going to say bookseller, but he doesn't booksell in this one. He's actually employed at a library in this book. So also really good.
National Library Week.
Good timing. He's now set in the Pacific Northwest. So we've got a nice change of scene for Joe, and he gets a job at the local library. And he meets one of the librarians there named Mary Kay, and he will not fall into his same sort of patterns of being obsessed with a woman in his proximity. But he does, spoiler alert. so it's really interesting because in this one, Mary Kay is a mother. She's already got a life. I know that some of his previous like paramours were closer to his age, but Mary Kay is a mom. She's got a job. She's got a whole history and kind of town and baggage and all these things. And it's really interesting and also funny, which I wasn't expecting to see Joe try to like infiltrate and play this part in this like Pacific Northwest small town library scene. So yeah, this was hilarious actually, which I find an odd way to describe a book that's about such a terrible person. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. If you liked the series, if you liked any of these books, it's definitely similar, but I did think it was probably the most, I don't want to say funny again, but just like tongue in cheek, because it's a little bit ridiculous that Joe keeps getting away with some of this stuff.
I was just laughing that you're like, yeah, you know, he's like probably best known for being a bookseller. Like that's, I wouldn't, I don't know, that's a defining feature that people
about. But yeah, this came out yesterday. Highly recommend if you're into this kind of thrillery scene. And if you're just waiting for the third season to premiere on Netflix, this will definitely fill the void. And I'm interested to see as well how they might adapt this book in the show, because I actually don't know what the third season of the show is about in terms of timing with the books. So it's, yeah, interesting. I'll stop babbling now.
That's okay. Maria, how about you? What's your first one?
So I just finished like 2 days ago reading Homie, the poems by Danez Smith, which like I try to read poetry during National Poetry Month, which this also is, but I try to read it a couple other times throughout the year, but sometimes I fail. But this is like when I'm like, I'm doing it, it's happening. I really enjoyed this. I ended up, it took me a while to finish it only because I realized like the second I started listening to the audiobooks, I saw that he read the poems and I was like, for sure. Going to listen to that. I needed to like have my 100% full concentration in order to enjoy these poems. Like they were so amazing. So I checked out the ebook and then on my phone, I was listening to the audiobook and then I was reading alongside, which honestly like was really, really helpful. And also how like poems are formatted, you know, some are in like shapes, some are in certain columns. So it was really enjoyable. His reading was phenomenal. And so I enjoyed that a lot. It actually made me want to read more poetry other than my like one a year. So I was very excited about that.
That's really, really funny. I've been doing a ton of audiobooks just late. Like it's a stupid amount. I should actually count. But one I did pick up because Jill talked about it before, as I listened to The Final Revival of Opal and Nev, which I know you started the physical book, Jill, but I will say the audiobook is really fun. It's by Donnie Walton, and it's almost like, you know, everyone is comparing it to Daisy Jones and the Six, and like the author Donnie Walton isn't shying away from that. In fact, she did a like a live event with the author of Daisy Jones, which is adorable that they did like these things. But yeah, it's really cool, but I think it kind of like, and it is very similar. It's a oral history. It's fictional, but it's an oral history of a pair of musicians who work together. Opal is African American. Nev is a white Englishman. And something happens in the middle of the story. There is a horrible event that happens and a tragedy to one of their band members that kind of causes a schism. And so they had created two albums together and then they kind of went their separate ways. And so the reason I think it's kind of like unfairly being compared to Daisy Jones is because I feel like Daisy Jones and the Six was very much like, the story was entirely centered around the relationships of like the band members and everybody there. Very much like Fleetwood Mac, which is, you know, we've talked about that ad nauseum. This is more like, there's a whole bunch of like historical and like racial tension type things. And like, it is oral history and it's amazing. And I really, really think people will love it. But I don't go in expecting Daisy Jones and the Six, because it is a very different story.
Yeah. 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 I agree.
Yeah. Which I know you were hoping it would be like Daisy Jones.
No, it's not that I was it's not that I was hoping that it was going to be like Daisy Jones and the Six. It's more like having it compared to Daisy Jones and the Six made me super interested. But yeah, it's, you know, it takes on a different tone just because of the characters and what is happening in the world at that time that the band was performing. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I will say though a few things. One, the audiobook, the people they got are amazing. Jill, if you haven't listened yet, Bonnie Turpin is one of the main people who who I know is your favorite.
Oh my god.
That's
putting on hold right now.
There's also Jill, if you use the Top Secret Overdrive one, I think it's available right now. I'm just saying. There's also Opal's her like stylist that she works with. I don't know. I need to look up the person who they got for his voice, because he's the best. I love him so much. He reminds me of he's a theater actor and he was on American Horror Story. Billy. People are screaming. He's a very fashionable man.
Do you mean Billy Porter?
Yes, that's exactly who I don't know if it's Billy Porter actually, but like the voice of the guy who they got to do it, the person is like spot on Billy Porter. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope it is, but I don't know. I haven't looked it up yet. I need to. Anyway, Joe, while you're looking that up, I know that you didn't have too many books. Was it something you want to talk about, or I can pass it over to Emma again?
No, give me one second.
Okay.
Hold on. Okay, yeah, no, I'll put it on hold in a minute. Okay, yeah. So I have been reading His Only Wife by Peace Adzo Midi, I think is how you... This is so good. So this is about Afi. She is a seamstress. She lives in Ghana in a small town with her mom. And she is sort of like kind of married off to this guy, Elkem. He is like this wealthy businessman, and her mom is, you know, hoping that by Afi marrying him, they can sort of like elevate their status, so to speak. But when Afi gets married, she realizes that he's not quite what they were expecting. For one thing, he doesn't actually show up for their wedding. He sends a proxy, which sure. And then when she actually moves from her small town to the capital city where he lives, she finds out he is in love with another woman who has like the family doesn't approve of. And so she is sort of there to kind of try and also like sway him away from this other woman. And it's so well written and just gorgeous writing. And I'm not super far into it, but I'm just loving it so far. So, yeah, that's His Only Wife.
I've been trying to figure out who the person is. I think it's Andre DeShields.
I was going to say,
that name sounds super familiar too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked him up and he is very familiar. You will recognize him. He might have. Maybe in Hades. Is he from? Does he do Hades? Adam. Did he do Hades Town?
I believe he did Hades Town. Yes.
I hope I'm leaving in that part just there where my brain entirely goes.
Yeah, no. I feel like 99% sure he did Hades Town. Yeah. He was Hermes in Hades Town.
Yeah, I think that's who it was. Anyway, sorry. Opal and them is great. Emma, you want to do another one?
Yeah. So this is one that I'm sorry, it doesn't come out for another couple of months, 2 months, but it ties in nicely because we were talking about Daisy Jones and the Six. And this is the new book from Taylor Jenkins Reid, Malibu Rising. Mm-hmm. It comes out June 1st, I think. And it was so good. I was lucky enough to read an early copy of this. And it basically follows four siblings, and they're kind of part of this famous family. Their dad is a sort of notable singer, rock star type of figure. And it's set in the 80s, And it's the end of summer, and they throw this big annual, like, end of summer party each year. And so the course of the story just kind of covers the 24 hours, you know, leading up to the party and then including the party, and kind of follows the different siblings while also doing a couple of kind of time hops back to their parents, and things kind of all come together nicely. And it's just, I don't know how to describe it other than it was really good. The family dynamics were really interesting. It was really well written. There's like intrigue there in that you kind of want to know what's happening with these different siblings and how they got to this situation. There's a lot of really interesting side characters at this party, because it's like an entertainment industry party as well. So you kind of have characters that I think are reminiscent of real people, but aren't, you know, named after those real people. And so it was just a really good read. Mm-hmm. And it's also just kind of a nice vibe. Like, it's set in Malibu in the 80s. And I don't know, I read this in the depths of Ohio winter. And it made me really homesick, actually, for California. But just it really did a good job of sort of transporting you to this like time and place. Yeah, and I really liked it. I would definitely recommend checking that out in a couple of weeks. Put it on hold at your library. It was so good. Taylor Jenkins Reid, man, she can't do any wrong, in my opinion.
Maria, what is your next book?
So I basically just like have been reading like a string. So I'm just going to say that, and I think Emma and I will be talking about this at some point, but I read A Court of Silver Flames by Sarah J. Maas when it came out. And then I had like an extreme book hangover. And I was like, I like don't know what to do. And I don't necessarily want to immediately reread the series, even though I will be doing that. So I have been like vacillating between sci-fi or fantasy and romance, because I can't read anything that either isn't real or like is not going to be guaranteed to have the ending right now. I don't know if that's like my book hangover mode or also just my like we're still kind of in COVID mode.
Life hangover mode.
Yeah, life 2020 hangover.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about a couple sci-fi ones that I've been reading. One doesn't come out until July, but it's called The Freedom Race by Lucinda Roy. It's the first in a new speculative fiction series, and it's about there was a Civil War sequel, and this is post, they call it the sequel, it's this post Second Civil War, and there's like all these ideological divisions among states, and especially like urban areas versus rural areas, and these rural areas have like plantation-ish like sort of like pods where they keep like anyone darker than a certain shade. They have like this color wheel of shades, and anyone darker than a certain like area on this shade is basically like raised to like do one specific thing or whatever. And they're called like seed areas. And so right now I'm just about a quarter of the way through, but I really like how these seed areas kind of have their own kind of oral traditions, and like the main character's uncle is like telling her stories of like before and that sort of thing. So right now it's like kind of getting up to the point where main character is going to have to make a decision about like, am I going to, you know, stay here? Am I going to try and like save my family, you know, by either running away or doing something? So far it's been really great. I think it's going to be a very different type of speculative fiction book, at least from the ones that I've read. So it's taking a lot of aspects of slavery, but also kind of, you know, that whole aspect of slavery with like lighter people and then darker people all on the like either black spectrum or brown spectrum, and really like taking that into play. So I've been enjoying it so far. So that's in July.
That sounds super in line with a book that came out a couple years ago, American War by Omar El Akkad.
Yes.
Kind of the same thing. Like there's a Second World War, and it's very, very similar. So if people are looking for a book that has, and it is, it's set in the future. It's in like 20 75 or something.
Okay.
So it is similar. It's kind of like speculative, like futuristic, kind of sort of sci-fi. But yeah, it's
nice.
With that. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I was gonna say I haven't read that one, but yeah, that sounds like it. It's so far so good, but like I said, I don't know what's gonna happen, and I try to like forget the blurb once I've been like, okay, read, so that I'm not like trying to anticipate anything, because I'm like terrible and I will like anticipate things that happen. I try like read ahead on the page. Ugh, so bad. And then I just want to, can I bring up one other one? I'm sorry, I'm doing a twofer, but
you're good.
I've listened to the entire Murderbot series starting like the beginning of 2020, and that's been really helpful for my book/life hangover as well. Speaking of narrators I love Kevin Free. He reads these. He's an actor as well. I don't know, I tried to look up his other audiobooks. I don't see a lot of other ones, but I just think he does such a good job of of talking like this you know, construct that is not human but not like completely a robot, and his voice is like not so robotic that it's boring, but not so human that it's like not convincing. I don't know. Oh my gosh. I just love his narrating of Murderbot. So Network Effect is the latest one. And that is the first like full length one, which didn't realize until I checked it out. And I was like, oh, this is like going to be only 3 hours. And then I was like, oh, JK, it's like nine. but still delightful. So he's kind of back with his human clients that are basically his associates/friends, but he doesn't want to call them that very much, that he had in the first book. And I'm excited because the sixth book comes out at the end of this month, Fugitive Telemetry, and I am very excited about that. So it's, if you like sci-fi but you don't like hard sci-fi, which I sometimes can't handle, this is a really, really good in between, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I feel like Alan Tudyk has another one of those voices. Oh, I got lost thinking about the voice thing that you were talking about. I was trying to think of other people who could like do robots, but they're like not robotic.
Yes, yes. It's like, that's really impressive to me, because like my immediate robot voice is like, I am a robot. And then it's just like terrible. So
yeah, having spent the last year reading via Zoom to my niece, I have a newfound respect for people who do like narration and voices specifically, like just matching the tone of a voice. Cause I'll do one and then she'll look at me and be like, is that supposed to be the same person? And I'm like, I don't know. Sort of.
I'm bad. I don't know, figure it out.
Yeah. You're following along with me to see who's supposed to be saying it. Yeah. Joe, the other ones you want to keep me going back and forth? That's okay. I was just checking.
Please keep going back and forth. I have so many books that like I have not read yet. That doesn't really do anybody any good, but I have a bunch that I'm planning on reading.
Before I
pass, doesn't help though. Right now,
before I pass back to Emma, I'll do one really quickly. I know that like the Venn diagram between our listeners and the Reading Glasses podcast listeners is like a circle, so I'll be quick with this one. But We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Berry, is really fun, and Mallory on Reading Glasses, it's like was one of her favorite books of the year, and she convinced me to read it. It's really good. It's about a women's lacrosse field hockey team in Massachusetts in like the 80s, and they use witchcraft basically to get good, and the like kind of quote-unquote burn book that they use to put all of their evil deeds in is an Emilio Estevez notebook, so they just spend the entire book calling it Emilio, which is delightful. It's really good. It's very 80s. But it's very, very enjoyable. And all of the characters are freaking delightful. So absolutely.
And I'm going to like move that so far up my to read list, because for some reason I didn't realize that they used like witchcraft in some way to be good. Like I'm 100% reading that now.
Yeah. Delightful.
That's great. I also love the cover. It's one of those that the cover is just like very immediate interest to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's delightful. So that's We Ride Upon Styx. Emma, you can go next.
Okay. So since Maria mentioned it, we're going to talk about the entire A Court of Thorns and Roses series. Because the last time I was on this podcast, I double checked, was for Read an Ebook Day in the end of 2020. And I said I was going to read A Court of Thorns and Roses on Read an Ebook Day. And I did not. Because this is one of those series where I knew I would love it. And I, you know, when you're just not like in the right headspace to commit to something that you know you're just really going to love. I don't know if that makes any sense. But I just wasn't ready. I like couldn't do it. Maria's been telling me to read it for literally the last year plus. And I just couldn't do it until February of this year because winter sucked. It did. It was terrible. And I need it. I was like, all right, it's time. We're reading it. So I promptly read the entire series, including A Court of Silver Flames, which was good timing because my reading of this series coincided with the release of that book. My gosh. That's all I have to say. It's so good.
It really is.
It's so good. I told Maria, it's like my entire personality now. I just want to talk about it. I just want to talk about this series. I just want to like look at fan theories about it. I just want to buy like art prints of fan art. It's
fan art is like, I will go in like a Pinterest or Tumblr rabbit hole of fan art.
It's just like it there. And they just announced they're making it into a TV series with Hulu. Yeah. And so I'm pumped that more and more people are reading this, even though I know it's not new. This came out so many years ago, but it's so good. And I think what I like about it, is that the series does like age up, which makes me feel better that I'm reading it as an adult. In fact, like the most recent book, A Court of Silver Flames is very adult.
Yes.
It's like perhaps one of the like smuttiest books I've ever read in my life, and I say that in the nicest way. Like,
oh yeah,
like it was so good.
And I think like the one thing that I've like, so I actually read this series at the beginning of quarantine. I was like, I'm just gonna get into it because I don't know what's going on. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not seeing literally anybody. At least now I'm seeing like some people. So I like blaze through them. But what I thought she did a really good job with is this latest book, which came out February.
I think mid-February.
Is from a different point of view than most of the other books. I think one of the other books, like the shorter one, the 3.1 or whatever, was in multiple viewpoints. But I, you know, so I know a lot of people were really worried about switching point of view. Voice, but I thought she did a really good job doing that. It didn't seem like a total shock from reading the previous books. I mean, Emma, you read them more closely together, but I thought she did a good job with that.
She did such a good job. I'm actually annoyingly, I read that whole series, flew through it. I actually just started it again, which is embarrassing. I don't know because Maria said, I've been trying to read other books to sort of get over this massive book hangover, and like it's not working. So I'm just going back to and reading it again. But sort of like in the quest to get over this book series, I've just been reading a lot more like new adult and young adult kind of fantasy type of stuff, just because I think it's such a nice deviation from actual life in any way, shape or form, that it's like kind of all I have the capacity to read at the moment, because, you know, I mean, we're still in a pandemic. We're still at home a lot. Things are improving, I think, but there are still a lot of things that have just been really hard. And so these books have just been, really helpful in having something to look forward to and reading and kind of diving into these characters in this fantasy world. But yeah, I'm just pumped about this series. I want to talk about it all the time. I'm super cool. Again, like it's not personality right now.
Listen, there's no judgment. Just to zone out, I reread Walden like a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, you know, it sounds nice. living in a cabin and not talking to anybody because I'm so tired of only talking to people via Zoom. I'm like, you know what? I'm just taking the final step and I'm just going to go, I'm going to go count the squirrels around my cabin, which is basically what Walden is about, in case anyone has never read it.
That is the one sentence summary of Walden.
Yeah. Guy is very good at building cabin. Guy is a philosopher, so every chapter has like one very quotable thing that people will put on a book, on a notebook. Guy counts all the crickets that come by him. Like, that's it. And it's fine and it's beautiful and I love it. Yeah. I'm all for it. Maria, what's your next one?
The only thing that really got me, I'm going back to the book Hangover, because the only thing that really got me out of the book Hangover was Legendborn by Tracy Dion. Oh my gosh, it was so good. I really liked it. For those of you, I don't even have it pulled up to like, oh my god, I'm like so excited I just like yelled about it. But if you haven't read it and you like YA fantasy, I highly recommend it. It's really cool because the setting is on UNC Chapel Hill's campus, which is just, I think, a really awesome setting for something that, and something you don't usually see. I mean, I know there's fantasy that's like kind of set in the real world, like Holly Black, you know, at least like the human world is more like present time, whatever, in that series. But this is the main character, Bree, is going to early college at UNC Chapel Hill and basically discovers these kind of like secret magical societies that are based on Arthurian legend. And she gets herself mixed up in it because she wants to find more about the mom that she lost. And it just snowballs so aggressively from her like being like, oh, I'll like do this and then get out in like a month. But then she kind of becomes involved with one of the guys who's in college there. And there are so many things happening, so many kind of backstabbing moments and self-discovery moments and discovery about her family and kind of the history of that area too. I used to live in North Carolina and I've been on that campus. So I think that was also especially fun for me. But yeah, I think it's just a really great new YA fantasy that is set a little bit differently than others. I'm very excited for the next installment of that.
Emma, you want to talk about the book you don't like?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is a good segue. So obviously in my attempt to find things similar, kind of in this YA new adult fantasy romance-y realm, the book that I saw recommended on like every platform, you know, on Book TikTok and like Goodreads and just everywhere, was From Blood and Ash by Jennifer L. Armentrout. I'm gonna be honest, I didn't love it. I really did not. This book follows a girl whose actual name I can't pronounce, but they call her Poppy, so we'll go with that. And she's known as the maiden in this sort of fantasy realm called Macedonia. And the whole kingdom's sort of fate rests on the hands of this maiden. And they can't sort of go through this big ascension day ceremony. I'm a little bit confused on what the process of that is. It might be explained further in later books. And so it just kind of hinges on her role in this big ascension day. And obviously that means they need to keep her protected. They need to keep her around until this big ceremony. And so that's where we meet Hawk with an E at the end, just so you know. And he's this hunky guard who is there to, you know, keep her safe and keep her protected as sort of external threats are trying to kind of invade this kingdom and also, you know, get Poppy out of the way and a bunch of other things. Of course, there's kind of like a enemies to lovers storyline with Hawk and Poppy. And then there's a whole bunch of other things at play. I thought it was really interesting in some of the things they pulled into the story, but I felt like it was a lot of story building to kind of get to the good stuff. And I know that that's hard with fantasy books because they're, I mean, you have to do a lot of groundwork. You have to introduce like all the characters and all the things, and there's different creatures and like different realms and whatever. But it just didn't do it for me. So of course I am reading the second book, because I'm kind of just of the point where I'm just so confused as to why I don't like it when the hype for this book is a lot. And so I am reading the second book because my friend just read books 1 and 2 as well and said that to keep going. She said, give it a chance. So I'm giving book 2 a chance and we'll see. There is a third book. So the second book that I'm reading right now is A Kingdom of Flesh and Fire. And it kind of picks up exactly where, you know, book 1 left it, right after book 1 leaves off. And yeah, the third book actually comes out, I think it's this month. Yeah, April 20th. It's called The Crown of Gilded Bones. So I think this might just be a series that's hit or miss with readers. You either love it or you don't. But we'll see. I might change my mind by the next time we chat about books. I might be obsessed and that might be my whole personality. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm a relatively new reader of any type of fantasy. So I really can't call myself an expert on what makes a good fantasy. But for me, it was just a little bit confusing and out of my comfort zone in terms of what I was looking for. But we'll see. I'm going to continue giving it a try.
I mean, good on you, I guess, for doing that. Because
I probably wouldn't do that.
I would not do that either.
So, yeah.
No, but you said like what makes a good fantasy. Like that is the type of thing. Like I wouldn't worry about that so much. Just whether you like it or not and why you like it. I think it's like I read a book last week called Topics of Conversation by Miranda Popke. And I have a friend, Julia, who's actually married to a coworker of ours, Ben. And I've known her like basically all our lives. We went to middle school together and she likes a particular type of book and she thinks it's hilarious to recommend them to me. And then I read them and I get furious and they are Sally Rooney books that I know everyone else loves. And that's great. So I know that I'm in the minority, but like, I don't super love books about terrible people being proud about how terrible they are. And also they get away with it because they use very large words and they have like, they just talk in a way that I'm like, no one speaks like that. I get it. You went to Columbia. It's great. Yeah. And this is one of those books where like, I think this is better than Sally Rooney books, but it's like this main character is this unnamed female protagonist. And it's a bunch of conversations that she has over the course of like 20 years of her life. And each of them are very interesting in the sense that they all kind of focus on something, whether it's like motherhood or disgust or desire or loneliness or art, whatever like the conversation is. But the whole time, it's just her being angry about her lot in life. But her lot in life is awesome. It's like she is extremely successful. She comes from a very easy life. She has all of the best potential education. And like she is happily wrecking stuff for herself. And then when she does, she's like, ugh, you know, everything's bad. I'm like, you're the one who made it bad. You just told us in the last conversation why you made it bad, because you were bored with your life. And like, and again, my friend Julia, I was like texting her while I was reading. I was like, this is such a you book and I'm furious about it. And like, I get that the people will like it for sure. Because it's really well written, but it's just like, for me personally, I don't like it, but I read it anyway. And that doesn't make it a bad book. It's if people like Sally Rooney books, and again, a ton of people do, they'll probably love Topics of Conversation. Right. I read it going in knowing I probably wasn't going to like it. And confirmation bias, I suppose. But again, it doesn't make it a bad book. And it doesn't make the fantasy book you're reading a bad book. It's just not for you. And I think that's okay.
So. Yeah.
I think it's so interesting. I mean, the same friend who just read the first two From Blood and Ash books, I just told her to read, obviously, A Court of Thorns and Roses. And so she's reading that now and likes that. And it's just interesting to me, like, how much we enjoy certain similarities in books, but then how other things just don't resonate. And so she really loved the Jennifer L. Armentrout books. And I obviously am not super thrilled with that.
I had that happen to me as like a book recommender, you know, and it's I feel like if I didn't like a book that someone recommended, I'd be like, oh, like I'd feel so bad about telling them. But it's actually like not, I was not offended at all. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo, which I really enjoyed. And my friend who likes fantasy, I was like, I think you're gonna like this. It's really cool. You know, it takes place at Yale. And he was just like, I just couldn't get into it. You know, it wasn't for me. I'm like, all right, you know, mm-hmm. it's no big deal. I mean, yeah. I still love it. So yeah. It doesn't really matter to me. I was like, I don't know why I am so worried about telling somebody I don't like a book, but
yeah, that Julie and I have a special friendship where like we will, like she'll specifically say, read this, you're gonna hate it, but I want to know how much you're gonna hate it. Or I'll be like, I'll be like, Julia, read this, it's gonna make you sob. And she's like, great, can't wait.
Yeah. And then I think also like it was one of my librarian friends, and I just feel like I'm just circling back to National Library Week. I just feel like, you know, librarians are just honestly like the most non-judgmental reading people I've ever met overall. Mm-hmm. As a blanket statement. And so like it was one of my librarian friends, and he was just like, didn't like it. I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna think of a different recommendation for you then. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you just go on. So
yeah,
no judgment. Yeah.
Speaking of, and I did this on Twitter the other day or last night, and I was laughing because Jill, I saw your response. Jill is a librarian who wrote a memoir about being a librarian in prisons. So you should read Reading Behind Bars if you haven't yet, everyone, because it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And Jill's a librarian. I laughed so hard. You did the like Dwight Schrute, like, it's true. It's true. I love this. I even like put in the tweet, I was like, Adam wrote this tweet because Jill will never self-promote. So it was just
it's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, I know I think Jill, you got a meeting pretty soon, so I'm gonna give you a few minutes. But Maria, Emma, thank you as always. We'll probably do more of this as we are constantly looking for Thursday episode ideas.
Yes, we are.
So thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. This was fun.
Yeah. And I hope everybody enjoyed this episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Adam Sokol and Jill Grunewald, and presented by Overdrive. For more information, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.